In chapter 29, when he
began to deal with Egypt, remember here in verse number 3, he referred to Egypt as a great dragon that lieth in the midst of the waters, saying that this river is mine. I have made it for myself. Sound familiar? Nebuchadnezzar says the same kind of thing, doesn't he? He doesn't say it about a river, but he says it about his headquarters city and his kingdom. The Lord says here, I'm going to put hooks in your jaws, and the fish that you rejoice in, one of the blessings that you have in the river there, verse number 4, I'm going to take you and I'm going to drag you out, and those very fish that you love and even worship and adore and think that they're so great at your own doing, the fish has been created by the Lord, but Egypt is a benefactor of it. But Egypt claims them as their own. The Lord says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw, you great dragon. I'm going to drag you out here on the land. And the very thing that you love and look to as a blessing and greatness of yourself, there's going to be a stench and a stink. See, the Lord knows the weakness. The Lord knows how to take the thing that seems so wonderful and so great and turn it out to be what it really is. See, because without the Lord, there is no prosperity. There is no permanency. There is no eternalness without the Lord that's of a benefit and a blessing. And so, so he talks here about Egypt being a whale, okay? A whale in the seas. He said, I'm going to send these nations and they're going to pull you up by my net. In verse number 5, I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water, this chapter 32, water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest. Even to the mountains and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and will make the stars dark thereof. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Now there's some things there that are talking about what the Lord's going to do with the sun and the moon in the end days, as he judges this world in that. Verse 8, and all the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and will set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee. And when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble every moment, every man for his own life in the day of thy fall. When the Lord Jesus comes in Revelation 19, and if you're not familiar with that passage, I encourage you to read it. Read it again. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come on a white horse. He's going to have an inscription on his thigh that says, it's written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to fight with his enemies with the sword of his mouth. And he's coming with, as Brother Jude says it, with 10,000s of his saints. The saints are coming. And what do? We watch as our Lord fights. The Lord says he's going to pull out his sword. Verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. Okay, so now we're back to this more present time thing. It's going back and forth. Things that the Lord has said that since even at the time of Nebuchadnezzar going in to Egypt, after that 13-year siege of Tyre, and we read earlier that Egypt is the reward for Nebuchadnezzar and his army because everything was laid waste. All there was with Tyre was just to occupy the place. That was it. Everything else. What did it say? Every head made bald and every shoulder peeled. I mean, the place was just stripped. It was just stripped. There was no reward. There was no booty. So the Lord said, well, I haven't had him do that at Tyre for nothing. I'll give him Egypt. And so now he's back to speaking about that. But there are things here in these chapters that we've read that even then, when Nebuchadnezzar did such, it doesn't seem to have been fulfilled. So that there seems to be prophecy here that's going to happen soon in the day of Ezekiel, and then that which I believe has yet to be fulfilled. Verse number 11, for thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt. and all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also the beasts thereof from beside the great waters. Listen to this. Neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hooves of beasts shall trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep, and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that whereof it was full. When I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. We remember this over in chapter 29 and verse number 11, what the Lord said that he's going to do in Egypt from this tower of Sinai. We don't know exactly where that is, but scholars believe that it's descriptive of the entire land of Egypt, not just a small geographical place, but from Egypt, from north to south, or from east to west. Most agree that that the Lord's speaking about from north to south, up towards the Mediterranean, down south, all the way to Ethiopia. In chapter 29, verse 11, no foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and will disperse them through the countries. Even with Nebuchadnezzar's siege and taking of Egypt and what we can find out historically, it doesn't seem like that's happened. And how could it be? How could it happen? Well, listen, just because you and I don't understand how it could be doesn't mean that it's not going to be. And so we know that our Lord will do so. And so we just grapple, we just look to understand what our Lord gives us. And if we don't understand it, the Lord will help us to understand it when we need to understand it. And maybe even, maybe there will be things even happening in our day that would cause us to understand it better. Anyway, and back in chapter 32, verse 16, this is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nations shall lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt, for all her multitude, saith the Lord God. There'll be a lamenting at this loss. How could Egypt be made so desolate? How could Egypt, being so rich, be made so poor? How can Egypt, being so great, in all of her time and through the centuries and even the millennia, be brought to such a desolate condition? You just don't buck against the Lord and get away with it. You don't go pick on the Lord's people, and you don't go support the Lord's people in their wickedness. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. Verse number 17, and it came to pass also in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month. Okay, so this is just a half a month, 14 days from the beginning of the chapter. So then, you know, a couple weeks later, the Lord gives him some more. You know, hey, we read the book, you know, we get into a passage, we read the book, we might think that, you know, say this particular book might take you a few hours to get it read. And we can kind of have the tendency to think that that's about how long it took for us to get it. I want to paint that picture. You know, he went for another half a month before he heard any more, and then it's time the Lord takes it up again. It came to pass in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and so seemingly it's Ezekiel that's writing, isn't it? Because he's saying that the Lord came unto me, and so he seems to be the one even writing the book. Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, even her, the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. Speaking about hell, death. Whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down, and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She has delivered Egypt to the sword. Draw her and all her multitudes down into this pit. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. See, all that stand against the Lord have the same end. And as we pointed out, and as the scripture bears out, there's no future for these other nations. There's just no future for these other nations. There's a future for Israel. There's a future for the people of God. But to the rebellious and disobedient against the Lord, there is no future. Asher. Now, don't get this confused with the tribe Asher, okay? Because this is speaking about Assyria or the Assyrians. Asher is there in that pit, in that hell. It is there in all her company. His graves are about him. All of them slain, fallen by the sword. See, Egypt is going down in the same place. Whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave. All of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. There is Elam. Speaking, if we understand it correctly, about the Medes and the Persians, and all her multitude round about her grave. I mean, how great were the Medes and the Persians? They were great and mighty nations, not up against the Lord. See, it's so easy and it's just so natural for us to get an idea that the great things, the great power that mankind has, that there's just nothing greater than that. But there is. And it's our Lord. As a brother pointed out this morning, when the Lord says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth," he means it. And I mean, you just don't need to think about, we don't need to think of it as just a weak kind of thing of a missionary effort to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just this little thing of words. Our King has told his church, his churches, to be about his business because he says so. For his end and for his purpose and for his glorification. Is there anything more important on the earth? And here you and I are in the middle of it. Because anybody that stands against it will not stand. And so we see here, and there is Elam, verse 24, and all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain. They're kind of looking on each other as, wow, Egypt fell and the Assyrians fell. And the Medes and the Persians fell. We see that in the book of Revelation, that and it's all culminated in total. The whole way of man, civically, religiously, monetarily, when the cry is given, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, is fallen. See, that term, that reference there, Babylon, is talking about all of it. All of it, the way of man in the world, the greatness of man and everything that he's done financially, governmental-wise, kings that raise up, everything of false religion-wise, the way of man, the gods of man, it's all calming up. This is kind of looking at the pieces of it over time. But when that day, when Babylon is fallen, oh, how great the fall of it is. And what's it say? The inhabitants of the world mourn. Catholicism is a piece of it, but it's not all of it. Because God is judging the whole way and system of man and of Satan. And that because of the depravity of man that has come out of man, that he looks to glorify himself rather than glorify the Lord. And here we're seeing pieces of it. They're standing around. How could the Assyrians fall? Look, they're dead. They're in the grave. How could Egypt fall? How could the Medes and the Persians fall? How could the Babylonians fall? You stand against God, you'll fall. You'll fall. There is Elam, verse 24, and all her multitude round about her grave. See that? And all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are going down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living. All their great, and man, they had influence, they had power, they had the ability to overtake and dominate nations, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit, all the rest. They have set her bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude. Her graves are round about him. all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword. They're not the people of God. They're not the nation of the Lord. That's that uncircumcised reference. They're not the people of the Lord, slain by the sword. Though their terror was caused in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. They were able in their day on this earth, but brought to their end, the end of those things that they pursued, they are found shameful. And there alone, with them that go down into the pit, he is put in the midst of them that be slain. There is Meshach and Tubal, the Scythians, if we understand correctly, and all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they cause their terror in the land of the living. They shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are going down to hell with their weapons of war. They have laid their swords upon their heads, but their iniquity shall be upon their bones. Though they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Oh, they had great ability. There were many that said, who can stand against them? But now, it's very much akin to what the Lord and what we read about Lucifer and about Satan that we saw over there in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. He'll be there and folks will look upon him and say, is this the one that terrorized the world and was able to do such great things and there was great fear? Is this the one? When the Lord brings him to his end, he'll be in a shameful condition. And what's it say? That even his own grave would vomit him out. It's that bad. It's that terrible. It's that the end of wickedness is terrible. Verse 28, yea, thou shalt be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised, shall lie with them that are slain with the sword. There is Edom, Esau's descendancy, the Edomites, her kings and all her princes, with them which with their might are laid by them that were slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised and with them that go down to the pit. There be the princes of the north, all of them, and all the Zidonians, which are going down with the slain, and their terror. They were ashamed of their might, and they lie uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword, and bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. Listen, Pharaoh shall see them. Different times they fought against one another. They were subject one to another. They sought one another's help. Dealing with Egypt, Pharaoh shall see them and shall be comforted over all his multitude. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand that. Even Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. Is it that they'll see themselves in the same miserable place as their confederates? They're all against God. And there indeed is no profit in it. There's only death. For I have caused my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword. Even Egypt, even Pharaoh, and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Egypt can't escape. The Assyrians don't escape. Russia doesn't escape. None escape. The United States doesn't escape. None escape. Only those that are the Lord's.